Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is Lauren House, who's licensed in three different states, California, Arizona, and also Florida, and she splits time between the couple states. And she's also been licensed since 2008, so she's got a great history of representing some really high-end clients in the professional athlete world and a couple other places. So I'm excited to have Lauren on the podcast. Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, not a problem. So I guess give us your backstory. Tell us a little bit about where you are and what areas that you serve specifically.
Today, I am in Miami, and I split my time between Scottsdale, Arizona, and Miami, Florida. I always feel like Miami doesn't need a state. It's just Miami. Right. Everybody knows, but not everybody knows Scottsdale. So yeah, so I've been doing this for almost 3 years, and it's been a journey, still in the middle of unfolding. Kind of was like a bigger fish, not a big fish, but a bigger fish in a small pond in Scottsdale, and got to Miami and was like, oh, I've got this. I'm not scared. And I got here and it's just a very different landscape. And so I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. I've had really a lot of failures. I've had a lot of epiphanies. And the reason that Miami even came about was because a client in Scottsdale asked me to get my license in Miami because he wanted to invest in Miami. The referrals I gave him were not up to par. So that is how I even ended up selling in two cities. And at the time, I wanted a personal change and was like, you know what? That's a challenge. I am up for it.
I love that. Yeah, it sounds like an awesome challenge and a great place to sell real estate, right? So yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Miami market, because I've heard different things about how long houses have been staying on the market. So give us a little insight into the Miami market, because I know a lot of agents are interested in hearing this insight.
Yeah, Miami is, while it's a city, it's definitely broken down like any big city. And so if you want to be kind of in Miami proper, you have Brickell, Edgewater, Brickell downtown, Edgewater, and then South Beach. And then the causeway across is Venetian Island, and that has Star Island, Palm Island, and that's like where the big top dollar houses are.
Gotcha.
Anything outside of that, you have Coconut Grove, Coral Gables, North Miami, Bell Harbor, all of those are still Miami by far, but it's just kind of not Miami proper. Like you can feel the energy change. Like if I go to an appointment in Bal Harbour or in Coconut Grove and I drive back into Miami proper, you can just feel the energy of Miami. It's really cool, actually.
I love that.
And so I would say that downtown Edgewater and Brickell are all really heavily focused on new construction buildings. There are at least 26 buildings going up, and there's a decent chunk that you can actually invest in for under $1 million, studio, one bedroom, and two bedrooms, and they allow short-term rentals.
Love that.
Kind of a great thing to have for anybody who wants to be here, doesn't want to be here full-time, and wants to rent it out. The other thing is that you have a lot of high-end buildings. You have Baccarat, Mercedes-Benz, Dolce & Gabbana, Casabella, all of these big ones that are, you can get them for maybe like $2 million and up. Some of them are even $5 million and up. You know, penthouses go for tens of millions of dollars. So if you're going to be on the land side, not the peninsula side, that's kind of the landscape going on over here because it's mainly condos. And I think most people know that there was a building that collapsed in Surfside, which is up close to Bal Harbour. And since then, all of the associations have had to undergo a lot of assessments, and those can range from $30,000 a unit up to hundreds of thousands of dollars per unit, like per homeowner, gotcha. Because they have to do all of the structural foundation like tests and make sure that the building is sound so that we don't have any more issues. So that's kind of the issue right now, is people such as me coming from a different city where condos are not as prevalent. I mean, it's really hard to find an association fee that's under $1,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, especially somebody new to the city trying to make it in a new city. We know you've made it very well in Scottsdale. So tell us a little bit about Scottsdale too. Like, give us some insight on that market and what that looks like selling real estate in that market.
Scottsdale is my home, so it's a little bit easier for me to lead generate. It's mainly a referral business. And, you know, you go to dinner, you go to an event, and I see somebody, and they're like, oh, I have to talk to you. So I definitely don't have that in Miami. I miss it a little bit because I think it mainly fills my ego, if I'm being totally honest. And I don't have that in Miami. Paradise Valley has not always had these high-end luxury homes. And I would say since like 2020, 2021, 2022, Paradise Valley, like the landscape has really changed. And now you're starting to see a lot of $8 million and up, whereas before an $8 million house was extremely expensive. So the landscape's changed for the luxury real estate market there. And we also have Arcadia. And Arcadia is in Phoenix. Paradise Valley is its own city. And then you have Scottsdale. Other areas that are like growing like crazy are Buckeye, which isn't a super luxurious community, but it's brand new. And it's the closest city in Phoenix if you need to split your time with California. So people who I have helped in the past who are looking to just kind of like be in Phoenix, but can't make the full drive and commit to another full hour, it's like they go to Buckeye. So it's just interesting because every city offers something totally different.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing about real estate in different communities because, you know, where we are in South Louisiana, it's just so different. You know, I mean, the numbers that you're throwing around might be the top sale in our community, which is really crazy. And I know a lot of people from around the South can kind of resonate with that as well. And hearing these numbers is exciting and it's interesting for sure. It's always fun to hear different insight from different realtors around the country. So tell us a little bit, because you made a major move recently, right? And now you've joined, and I'll let you kind of tell us why you did and where you are too.
I have was with Sotheby's for 10 years, and that was in Scottsdale. And when I got to Miami, I joined a boutique luxury firm called Super Luxury Group. And it didn't bother me. A lot of people were kind of shocked that I didn't stay with the same brand in both cities. It didn't bother me. I figured I already had access to what Sotheby's had to offer. I'd had a lot of experience at Sotheby's. I just wanted something new and fresh. And because Miami is so Instagram heavy and so forward thinking with tech, I didn't want to be at Sotheby's. I wanted to be with somebody who's like out there and doing it and has a name for himself. And he does a great job. He's also an influencer. So his network is very impressive. And ultimately, I just kind of wanted everything to be on the same page. And I joined Real because it kind of combines the best of both worlds. Like, you have a little bit of traditional values, a lot of traditional values, but with the techie side and with the, there's just like, you go into Bolt, for example, and it was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a breath of fresh air. I can see everything where it is. It's easy to understand. There's a lot of things as a business owner that it's made my life easier. There's other things coming from a princess brand, right? Sotheby's, where it's like, oh, I have to order my own signs. Like, I don't know how to do that. So there's been some culture shock that goes along with it. Yeah. But if you're coming from something that's not Sotheby's, then this would be no news to you. It's just news to me because I've had somebody essentially do everything for me for 10 years. But I also paid to be there. It's very expensive to be there because you get great service. So I'm learning, again, another learning curve. I'm learning what it's like to be at a brokerage where the fees are low for good reason. Like, you're able to spend your dollars that you make and you want to invest back into your business in a totally different way than just office fees. So it's been insightful. I haven't been at Real for that long, but so far I like it. It's just easy. It's laid back. I mean, Sharon, I feel like the energy at the top always trickles down. And the event that I went to, he just brings the energy and he has fresh ideas and he's so personable. He stood there and just talked to everybody once the event was over. And I was absolutely shocked because most events I go to, people are like dying to get out of there. So I was just, I loved it. It was just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the national convention is going to be in Orlando, Florida in November. And I told you, I said, Lauren, you've got to go to the convention. It's awesome. I went in Vegas and it was a great time. And again, you just get fired up for what you're doing, you know. But not only that, but just getting to be in the same room with these amazing top producers like you and other influencers that are doing huge things on social media is just exciting. Like every week I find myself in a Zoom call with these amazing guys and girls that are doing these crazy, amazing, awesome things on Instagram and YouTube and have these crazy followings and showing you that, like, literally they're like, hey, do this. Did you think about doing it like that? Which is crazy.
To be at a brokerage differently. Totally. And when people are willing to like share their secrets, which it's not a secret, and you have already very kindly told me that you learned something from me for something that I put out. And it's just like this silly system that I came up with on my own because as a buyer, as a seller, I know what it feels like when I'm in the middle of buying or selling a house. Like you just need certain things from your agent. And so I'm like, all right, well, if somebody's going to treat me like that, then I'm going to make sure I treat my clients like that, you know? Yeah. And those are the things that make you better. They don't necessarily cost money or take a ton of extra time, but it makes the client experience better. And those are the little secrets that I think are super valuable to share with one another. It doesn't hurt. What does it hurt you if I give you all my secrets? We're in different markets. We're not competitors, yeah. You know? I want you to be better. And just like you want me to be better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then that's kind of goes back to the culture that Real has and as a company and everything too is it's just one Real, you know, it's one brokerage around the country that people like Lauren and people like Jamie get together on podcasts and Zooms and encourage each other and share things that are working in our own business. So I love that. And I think the thing you were kind of speaking of right there was you're texting the client updates, even if you don't know anything, which I was like, such a great idea because people are stressed.
They are. So I mainly do that when we're in negotiations of either the initial offer going back and forth or the inspection negotiation. And I literally get up in the morning, I set the alarm every 2 to 3 hours, depending on my calendar. And I just let them know, hey, no update. Hey, there's no update. And I let them know in advance, if you hear from me, I guess before the 2 hours, obviously I have something for you. Otherwise, I'll talk to you every 2 to 3 hours today. And people love it. One of the first deals I closed in like 2000, I don't even know what year. I took her to dinner after just to like closing time, we wanted to celebrate. And she just started crying and was like, I have not had anybody take this good of care of me in probably ever. And to know that like a real estate agent cares, because no offense, like real estate agents don't have a great reputation as a whole, because most people are just slimy and they want the dollar. So most people feel that and they like want to repel us, but they need us in this weird way. So it's like this really weird love-hate relationship. And because I know that, and I hate being sold on top of it, I really strive to make my business exact opposite of what everybody thinks it's going to be.
But you have such a professional way about you too. Like, you know, you look at your social media and your, you know, it's this amazing presentation. But like what I love about what you do is like, not only do you, you know, look super professional and everything you do is like first class, but I just love that you have this heart behind it too, because that's just so powerful. Because I mean, that's really at its core, all the other things are great, but at its core, like that's why people are using Lauren. Is because you just take such good care of them. And it's not such just that Lauren's perfect and she's got her life together and she's, you know, taking flights and she's at every high-end party in Miami and Scottsdale. It's not that, you know, the reason people are using you, it comes down to how you treat them, which I love that.
Thank you.
One thing I think that, yeah, absolutely. You need a little pep talk, right? And anytime I always say I've got a little couch in my office and I have all my friends. I said, look, y'all need to probably just come sit on my therapy couch, right? And just talk and, you know, get it all out, right? Scream, yell, punch something, whatever. Just get it all out.
That's a great idea.
Anyway, I've been on this theme lately and it's been we're calling it take charge, right? Can be often misconstrued as bossy or assertive or whatever it is. But you had done a few videos that I caught on your Instagram as far as like just taking charge, right? So tell us like what that means to you, Lauren.
I guess if I had to give it like in one word, it would be to anticipate, right? Because for example, I have a client right now, it's a high dollar buyer, we're under contract and he had to travel. And he texted me yesterday because we need to go over the inspection report. And he was like, just whatever you think. And I'm like, oh my God, like I know what my lens is, right? I know like how picky I am. I know that I have high standards. So I'm like, oh boy, I don't want to like blow the deal over this. But he trusted me so much and just said, do whatever you think. I trust you. And I was like, okay. And it's not that I don't think that I'm not capable of this. That's not it at all. It's almost like I'm too capable and I know too much. And so I want to make sure. So I ended up having a really great conversation with the inspector and just went over a few things. Yeah. I mean, like stuff like that, it's on one hand, it's an honor. But on the other hand, like, I'm not going to question him. He just told me he's on a plane. He really has limited access to Wi-Fi and I have to take charge. So I just did what I had to do. I scheduled who I needed to schedule, told him, this is who you need to contact. This is who you need to pay for the deposit. And I will take care of everything else. For me, that comes with a lot of years of confidence, a lot of years of failure. And from that comes the confidence to understand upon reflection, I should have done this. This makes me look like the expert. This is what makes me stand out from others because I'm not deferring to people 24/7. I speak up and say, listen, that air conditioning unit needs to have an inspection. I'll pay for it. Like, I don't even care. It needs to be inspected. And if by not telling the client what you think, because we live, breathe, dream, sleep, eat real estate all day long, they're relying on you. So if you don't say what you need to say and make sure it's in their best interest, you're not going to gain their trust. And I think that's the scariest part is like, okay, once you're trying to get through that path of growth from, we'll call it green to seasoned, a lot of it is learning to find your voice. How do you communicate this? How do you take charge? What does it mean to be anticipatory? But it all comes from experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And confidence. I love that you said that too, because confidence is key. And even if you can just get a little bit of confidence, the general public and their knowledge of the real estate business is not as in depth as ours is. Even if you're in business for 6 months or a year, you know, you still have those experiences of you pass the real estate exam. And for Lauren, you passed the real estate exam in 3 states. So even having that knowledge, even if you didn't do any transactions, would still be a great knowledge. And that's what I tell new agents is like, if it feels right, you're probably right. And when it comes down to it is if you can make the decision that doesn't involve money, it truly puts the client first. That's the right decision. So it's awesome. And I love to hear your twist on it. And as far as anticipating and doing it that way, because taking charge means a lot of different things to different people, right? I mean,
what are some examples that you've gotten?
Well, you know, just even this last week on the podcast, the last podcast, I interviewed, you know, a great agent here locally who sells 100 houses a year in a town of only 1,200 people. And she went from being a teacher. Yeah, right. I mean, she kills it. And I mean, yeah. She went from being a teacher and administrator to being all of a sudden kind of being a realtor. The core of it, the reason why she ended up being a realtor is because she got dissed because she was a woman and in the opportunity and the position that she wanted to be in. So I was like, it was a crazy story. But yeah, she takes charge. And I mean, she uses that education from being a teacher to then educate the clients in a good way. And she gets on Facebook Live every day because that's her thing. And she just goes Facebook Live every day, 200 plus days a year. That's her strategy that she utilizes. But also when it comes down to it, she's taking charge in the sense of like, you're going to call her because she's got the ability to tell you what you need to do to get your house sold. She's going to take charge. She's going to be, she calls herself bossy or assertive. Like, I just love that mindset of realtors of like, if you aren't hitting your goals, maybe it's because you're not really doing the high level activities of being a realtor. And that's taking charge. You're looking at it like a doctor, right? Like I'm not going to go to a doctor and be like, hey, doc, this is what I think we need to do, right? I'm going to the doctor because he's got the solution to the problem that I'm having. So anyway, that was what it meant to me, but I appreciate you asking. But I loved hearing your setup on it because everybody thinks differently. And especially when you have two high-level professionals at the same table, hearing your side of it is awesome. I love that. I love that angle you took on it for sure. So,
thanks.
But tell us a little bit about what you're doing on social media, because your social media is amazing. And I'm going to put your contact information and we'll tag you in a few of these videos. And I hope that people will go follow Lauren because she's doing really big things in social media and speaking to realtors. Let's talk about like some things that you're doing to encourage realtors. One of them I really liked was being confident on camera, and you can also expand on other things that you think realtors can take away from you as an agent.
That was a little mini series. I get asked all the time, like, how are you so confident on camera? And I just thought it'd be fun. It's out of the blue kind of, and I was like, why don't we just do something different? Because it still is part of teaching, but it also, it's kind of just for anybody who is like scared to get on the camera. And usually it's because you don't like the way you look or you sound. And so if I can help you pinpoint what that means and what you need to do in order to like what you look like and sound like, I mean, I don't know if you can change what you sound like, but you eventually get used to it. And I do say that in one of the videos. I'm like, you'd eventually just kind of have to get used to it. It doesn't bug me anymore what I look like and I sound like. And if there's something I don't like, then I change it. And if I change it and I still don't like it, then I go watch a bunch of other people to see who I can learn from and try and apply it and see if that works for me. And so I just go into that because that's how in-depth it goes. Because when you're watching yourself on camera all the time, you either like it or you don't, right? That one was specifically, excuse me, just to be fun and do something different, still be a value-based, you know, mini series, but it wasn't real estate related. So it's just different take. But yeah, I used to only post like traditional Instagram content, hot girl photos with quotes, and they do well for me, obviously. I think it works well for any girl, but it doesn't really take you to that next step of being somebody who has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. I just kind of like stayed away from posting on real estate. And then I tried doing the traditional just sold, just listed, open house. And I didn't really like that. I felt slimy. It didn't align with who I was. I thought it was cheesy. I didn't want to put the address on there because I felt like, A, it's a safety hazard for the seller. It's a safety hazard for me. If I'm going to an open house, people know my house is vacant. Like, you kind of get older and understand quite a few things about this. So what I have been doing for the past like 4 months now is I just sit down and I take my clients' questions and I repurpose them into content, because most people ask these questions, they don't know. They're asking because they don't know. And even though we're in it, it seems like such an easy question to ask and answer. It feels like a lesser value piece, but sometimes you just have to start at the beginning. What is earnest money? Easy, right? Like, we can answer that in our sleep, but not everybody knows what it is. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm working on right now. I'm just trying to put value out there. I still want to keep the self-development stuff in there because that's super important to me. You know, I still like a hot girl photo with a good quote, not gonna lie. I'm just trying to make it more business and more value driven instead of like just being what I look like pretty on the Instagram page. You know, I want it to be valuable so that people come to my page when they're like, oh, this is what I need. I wonder if she has a topic on that. So it's been quite the journey, needless to say.
I love that. Yeah, because I'm trying to be like, how can I put hot girl photos out? And I'm not getting it. I keep trying to put it out. It just doesn't work.
A lot of pre-planned photo shoots with outfits and scenes. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. That sounds exhausting to me. I mean, awesome.
I mean, anyway, it's just a funny place to be and a funny thing to have to care about. Like, I am fresh out of photos. I have no photos. I had to find a photographer in Miami. I have a photo shoot on Friday because I don't have any pictures. I don't do a ton of stuff. And when I do personal things, I don't always want to post about it because my page has gone so business. So I'm like, okay, I have to go back to finding like that happy medium of like some personal and some business instead of straight business. But I'm kind of just trying the hard business push to see what's going to happen and then keep stories for the personal stuff.
Yeah.
It's always a game. Yeah, you're always trying something.
And it changes. It changes so much lately. It's so crazy what things worked and what didn't. And, you know, I mean, I've been in these Zooms and they're like, hey, we tried this 5 years ago and it was hit or miss. And now we're like killing it right now again by being this local news anchor for your city. You know, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, and I was just like, let me just try one. And I tried one the other day and it killed, you know, it was awesome. So, I mean, yeah, it's right. It's like there's so many things that are changing and they're just changing so quick. But I think like if you can just at its core bring like a crazy amount of value to your audience, like I don't care if you're, you know, whatever you're doing, it's going to be a value if you can just bring something of value to the consumer, even if it's not well produced. Like, I mean, talk about too, because this is one thing we've been chatting about recently on the podcast, but talk to us about like, and yours is probably going to be, I would imagine, from just the look of it, it'll be more well-produced than raw. But have you had any experience with the well-produced stuff versus more of the raw stuff that you might have shot with your phone? I mean, are you having any experience with the two or the difference or more, you know, is something more impactful of one versus the other?
I would say it's in the editing. It's not necessarily in what you use to film it.
Everything you put out is probably really, really high quality is what you're saying.
That is of recent. That's, again, another part of the business push. I'm trying it out and seeing what it's going to do for me because it's still new. Gotcha. I didn't really take videos and editing that seriously. I would just like do it in the app. And then I realized how much time you spend editing. And I'm like, this is not how I want to be spending my time. So then my social media company, they edit my videos for me. And my assistant also does like cool little things, not to the extent that the social media company does, but it's still on me to go film it. So I'll just come sit here for 4 hours and film little videos. I send it to the social media company and give them the idea, how fast I want the music, where the, you know, the size, the color, the placement of the captions. Like I probably overproduce it just on the editing side, but the video itself is just my iPhone with this background. That's it. But I do want to, because I think people like the real and the raw. So I am trying to capture more. I just started cold calling. So I'm going to start putting up those raw videos, like unedited, and just like let people see the behind the scenes of what I'm doing. So I know that the overly polished version looks great, but it also creates maybe a stigma of like, I don't know if it's like unreachable or untouchable or like, oh, she's so whatever. Like, yeah. I always want to bring myself down. I don't want to be on anybody's pedestal because, as we said before, like I think I'm fairly humble. I don't, you know, I just want to bring value to people. That's really all it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get where you're going with that, being unreachable or unattainable or whatever. Yeah. You know, you always want to have your clients feel like they can always call or text you or reach out at any time and you're going to be there for them, which yeah. I do get that vibe from chatting with you before and also kind of getting a vibe of what you're putting out on social. And I think you do a great job at that. But yeah, what I would say to Lauren is maybe just one more thing, because we're getting a little bit close on time, but at the core of this podcast, it's all about helping agents, right? So we want to give some positive, encouraging messages to realtors. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot to have one more positive, encouraging thing that you can tell a realtor who maybe had a rough 2024, off to a slow start in 2025, what would you tell them to like really kickstart their business in 2025? And then we'll close it out.
You are the only person in charge of your business. This is why I'm doing cold calling, because as great as it is to work open houses and to be a referral-based business, the things that you want, such as the price point and location, are completely out of your control. So what can you do to put yourself in the driver's seat? And that's going to be pretty much outbound lead generation, which is allowing you to decide who you want to work with, where you want to work with them, what price point you want to work at, and like making sure that those are your non-negotiables. Like I'm putting accountability partners in place, because it's so easy to let your day run you. And we all think that we're productive because we're answering emails and we're taking phone calls. But like being busy is not the goal. Your goal is to make money. Your goal is to put people under contract and get listings. So if you just let your emails run you and your calls run you, did you really do anything? You felt busy. Your day was busy, but did you really do anything? And I think just being really brutally honest with yourself about where you're at, how productive you are. Activity is not productivity. And just if you got to sit and time block. Like, you are in charge of yourself and you need to be in charge of how you produce your outcome of the goals you want to reach.
Love that. Lauren, you're so awesome. I love that you're getting on the phones. Like, that's inspiring to me. I'm a phone guy and I love that you're like, hey, let's get on the phones, baby. I love it all the time.
That's how
I generate the majority of my business. I've been in the business 20 years. I still get on the phone and call people before an open house. I call people to let them know I have a buyer for their neighborhood. I call people to let them know about a new listing and hey, this is what's coming up. So it's a strategy that I use. And to me, I still think it's one of the best strategies that we have as a tool in our toolbox to get exactly what you want in the real estate business. I can pull up the exact neighborhood that I want to work in whatever state in the country, and I can make calls around that and I can find opportunities in that neighborhood I want. I don't care if it's in Miami, if it's in Alaska or Scottsdale or New York City, I'm getting on the phones and I can guarantee you within an hour, I can find opportunities there that were sitting there waiting for me to call them. So it's great. I mean, you know, if a realtor is struggling right now, get out your phone and show me how many phone calls you made. If you'd said, oh, well, I did this email or I did this post on social media or I did this video or I did this, that, or the other, I'm like, hey, man, that's great. And those are all great things. But if you want to make money, pick your iPhone up, start dialing, baby, because there's opportunity on the end of that phone call. So
totally. Your next deal could easily be in your phone, and it's scarier than you think. And you've been doing it for so long. So obviously I'm on the right path because you know what you're talking about.
Somewhat. You know, I think I do. I mean, look, hey, if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. I'll still make money doing calls, you know.
Totally.
You know, but hey, it says something about your hustle too, that you're willing to get on there and create it, you know. And it says something about your hustle that you're willing to move across the country and help out in Miami. I mean, that's great. And I think you're going to, with that mindset of like, hey, I'm going to make connections and use the skills that I have, the communication skills that I have to reach them by phone and then follow up with an email and then follow up with a personal video that you sent them and then follow up for the next 5 years. And then when they're ready to sell, I can't wait for you to text me and say, hey, Jamie, here's this $5 million listing I just listed on the beach in Miami. And it was all from phone calls. That's exciting to me. I hope I get that text.
I will let you know now that I know you're a cold caller. Yeah, to your point, it's an interesting place to be, to have to kind of start over. And I'm just, instead of feeling like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this, I'm actually absolutely stoked to do this. And I'm excited to learn a new skill and invest in myself, because I think it's just going to make me so much better. Even when I'm just out in the world having conversations, I'll know how to navigate what kind of information I need to get out of that person in order to even understand if they're a contact. I mean, it's so cool. I'm stoked.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even if you're a little scared, you know you're on the right track. You know, when you pick up the phone, you're a little scared. You're like, I'm a little scared, but I know you're on the right track. If you want to be super successful in this world, do stuff that scares you every day. That's how you kill it in this real estate game. So, Lauren, you're awesome. I'm so excited to connect with you. And I'm so excited that we connected on Instagram and we get to spend a little bit of time together. And we ended up being at the same company, which is totally awesome too. So I hope that people go follow Lauren, follow some of her videos, because she has got so much gold already on her Instagram that is encouraging and great options for looking good and being presentable on camera and confidence on camera. So you guys are going to really dig what she's got. And if you're interested in any of those markets and hearing more about Real, I'm sure Lauren would be willing to also chat with you about that opportunity and why ultimately she did what she did. So I hope that people reach out to you in that sense of things too, Lauren.
Absolutely. So. Would love to chat with anybody. So thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jamie.
All right, Lauren. Well, thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate you tuning into the podcast every week. I'm so excited to be a part of your weekly adventure and you're excited to be in your ears. And now we're able to share this a little bit on social media. So guys, thank you so much for following every week. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.